The regular scheduled meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals. A legal notice was posted in the Aiken Standard on March the 3rd, 2015, giving notice to the public of the time, the date, and the place and the agenda for this meeting. By Wednesday, March 4th, 2015, public notices were posted, signs were posted on the properties, and the actions, the board requested this action by March 4th. Notice of this meeting was also sent by March 20th to the city clerk for posting on the city webpage, also to the clerk for posting on the finance and administration building notice board, the municipal building notice board, at least 24 hours before this meeting. Agenda sheets were mailed or emailed to interested parties. As a reminder, it is unlawful for any person knowingly giving false testimony to this board that's in accordance to Section 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of up to 30 days in jail and or a fine of $1,092.50. To the board, you have received copies of the February 24th meeting. Do you have any comments on the minutes of that meeting? Prior to soliciting comments, any person that wishes to have a conversation with this board, we ask that you occupy the cubicle to my left. Please speak into the recording devices so that your conversation with the board can be properly recorded. Any person that wishes to receive copies of today's proceedings may sign up on the sign-up sheet just beyond the double doors. When addressing the boards, please state your name and your address. Now, the board, you received the February 24th meeting minutes. Are there any corrections or additions?
Mr. Chair, I move that the minutes as submitted to us be approved.
I second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that the February 24th meeting minutes be approved. Do we have any discussions? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously.
I wasn't present.
Nancy was not present. She did not vote in.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll pass the orders around for your signature.
Thank you. We have one item of old business. I call your attention to application 15-92003. That's a request for a special exception to expand existing housing to allow an accessory apartment. This is at 804 Lagarde Road. It's zoned single family, RS-15. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, sir, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
Not that I'm aware of.
Presentation?
Yes.
Thank you.
This is an application from Martin and Christina Cota. They're the property owners requesting a special exception approval to enlarge their house for an accessory apartment at 804 Laguerre Road. Property is zoned RS-15. Applicants are proposing their 1,811 square foot house by 1,000 square feet, of which 730 square feet will be an accessory apartment. Special exception is approval is required because Section 3.4.1.8.6 requires a special exception approval if the building footprint is enlarged to allow an accessory apartment, and that would be the case here. A previous variance application to allow an accessory apartment to exceed the maximum building ratio and to allow an increase in the maximum ratio allowed for all detached structures was heard by the board on July 29, 2008 and was denied. The final order and minutes for the variance are found in Exhibits G and H to give you some background and some history. The proposed accessory apartment meets all the applicable standards found in Section 3.4.1.A of the zoning ordinance, as well as all setback requirements. Surrounding development is a single-family detached residential, and the application was continued from February 24th because the applicant had confused the hearing date. It did not appear. He thought it was Thursday night instead of Tuesday night. This particular application, if it wasn't an accessory apartment and they were adding on to the house, they could do that by right. If they were not adding on to the house, but creating an accessory apartment within the existing footprint of the house, they could do that by right. But because they're enlarging the footprint for the specific purpose of providing an accessory apartment, it requires a special exception.
But that was not the case in 2008 when it was denied.
That's correct. There is certainly different circumstances in this application.
Any questions by the board to the city? Brandon?
The situation in 2008 were that the applicant was trying to put a detached accessory that exceeded the ratio, correct, size-wise, to the main dwelling place.
Two things. It would have exceeded the maximum ratio with the primary building, and it would have exceeded the maximum allowed ratio for all accessory buildings on the property, the 50% rule, as we call it.
To your first point about expanding his house to live in, with that particular size, no issue with that, correct?
Correct.
What stops an applicant from doing that and then 10 years later deciding he's going to rent out part of his house?
Yeah, that, 10 years from now.
Or even 2 or 5 years from now. Nothing really, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions to the city?
I was meeting at the same time you were answering, so I didn't pay attention. If they just wanted to add on to their house right now and not have an accessory apartment, just have an extra bedroom and put an entrance on the side of the house, so that their son could come and go, is there any problem with having too much structure for the size of the lot?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Back when we turned this down a couple of years ago, the fact that this was going to be used as an accessory apartment was irrelevant to the decision. It was strictly based on the size of the unattached building in comparison to the main building. Is that correct?
That's my recollection.
It really had nothing to do with the use as an accessory apartment.
Yes. This is different circumstances than it was in 2009.
And just to clarify, according to the ordinance, this is zoned RS-10. The applicant does have a right, according to the ordinance, to have an accessory apartment for use either by a family member or a third party.
Well, it is zoned RS-15.
RS-15.
And yes, as long as it meets the criteria in 3.4.1 as far as size of the lot and the percentage, yes, it's allowed by right.
I'm confused. Why does he need, maybe I didn't understand his question. Why does he need a special exception?
He needs a special exception because he is enlarging the house for the specific purpose. He's enlarging the house, and then part of that enlargement is an accessory apartment. If he were not enlarging the house for an accessory apartment, he could do that by right. If he was putting the accessory apartment within the existing footprint,
it would be allowed.
Okay, what makes it an accessory apartment if he could just enlarge the house?
The ordinance?
No, I mean, what's making it an accessory apartment? If you add it on, you put two more bedrooms and a door coming in on the other side of the house, what makes it an accessory apartment?
It meets the definition of a dwelling unit.
It meets the definition of a dwelling?
Of another dwelling unit, yes, ma'am.
I'm lost because why can't he just add on to his house and have his mother live in the house? Then that's not a dwelling unit?
If there wasn't sleeping, if you have sleeping, bathing, and cooking, that's another dwelling unit.
Cooking?
Mm-hmm.
But he could add on sleeping?
He could add on
bathing.
A bedroom and bathing, and that would not be another dwelling unit.
Okay, so when you put the kitchen with it?
Yes, ma'am.
A food preparation area.
Okay.
And Mr. Patanini, I liked your math. You said 2008 was only a couple of years ago.
Hey, that was yesterday.
Any further questions from the board to the city? Thanks, Tommy. Mr. and Mrs. Coulter? Read yourself into the minutes, your name and address, please.
Yes, I'm Martin Coda. I live at 804 Legree Road in Aiken.
Right. You receive a copy of the notes from staff. Do you wish to embellish on those or just respond to and from questions from the board?
I'm happy to answer any questions. I don't know that I can be very good at embellishing. So.
Thank you. Question from the board.
Pat? Yes, last month when you were unable to make the meeting, I guess the confusion with the date, one of your neighbors on an adjoining street, not right next door, was here and it was mentioned something about covenants and deed restrictions that might be applicable to your property. I was curious if you had, do you have a POA in your development? Property Owners Association?
Yes, we do. It's I don't know all the legal terms. It's not a mandatory POA. In other words, we don't have to pay dues.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a member of it, but it's not a requirement to live in the neighborhood. There are some covenants. The covenant that would pertain to this is with a detached structure. When I wrote my letter, I didn't realize that somebody asked a question when I was going around talking to neighbors. So I went back and looked at the covenants. Part of it, all of it, was my fault because neighborhood's 60 years old now, and I figured covenants are long past. And after doing some research, found out otherwise. But the covenants have to do with a detached structure, not a structure that's attached.
Mm-hmm. The reason I ask is it's not our responsibility nor our authority to enforce or deed restrictions or covenants, but I just wanted to make you aware that if you are subject to these, they could be enforced by your neighbors or by the association by civil action.
Yes, sir, yeah,
so
I'm aware of that.
Didn't want you to be put in a situation where we might approve something and somebody else might sue you saying you can't. And you can't come back and say, well, the BZA said we could.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm aware of that, yes.
Okay. One other question. How many additional cars do you anticipate having on your property with the accessory apartment?
Just one.
Just one?
Yes, it would just be my mother's.
And so you'll have additional parking for up to three cars then?
Yes, parking up for up to three cars, yes. One more than we have
in
now.
In a garage or on hardscape?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions from the board to Mr. Cota?
So basically, this is like an apartment because she has to have her own cooking. If she's taking care of your son, she's not going to be cooking. You have to have a kitchen?
No, we don't have to have a kitchen. However, my mother's very independent, and I would like for her to be able to stay as independent as she can, you know, as long as she possibly can.
So you don't want her using your kitchen?
Well, it's not that I don't want her using my kitchen. It's just...
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out this.
I mean, we would prefer for her to have her own place to, like I said, so that she can be as, you know, independent as she possibly can.
Other questions from the board to Mr. Cote?
I would like to know if he's had an opportunity, has he spoken to his neighbors on next door on both sides and told them of your plans to have an apartment there?
Yes, I have. I've spoken to everybody around, you know, right in my immediate area there.
Any negative feedback?
I had two that were, they weren't negative, but they weren't real positive. Everybody else that I talked to was extremely positive. In fact, one lady wrote me a letter, you know, expressing her support. So,
I noticed that you removed a number of trees in preparation for the additions.
Well, it was a couple of them were in preparation for this. Most of them were either pine beetles or the ice storm last year. So I think there was one or two additional trees that we had taken out, but yeah, most of them were, it was ice storm damage and pine beetles.
Yeah. Other questions from the board? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception requests? Final call, others to speak to the special exception requests. Seeing, hearing none, the chair to entertain a motion so we can end our period of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept application number 15-92003 with the following conditions, that approval is granted to allow a 730-square-foot attached accessory apartment by enlarging the house at 804 Laguerre Street as conceptually shown in Exhibits B and C. And also that the final order is recorded at the Aiken County RMC office. Excuse me.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Bud seconded. It's been properly moved and seconded that we accept the special exception request. Do we have any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I feel like that all of the 11 criteria have been met, and based on what we heard from the some of the neighbors or the neighborhood association for last time, I feel like that, like I say, he's met everything he's supposed to.
I was not present at the last meeting, and I guess my concern is when Mr. Cota moves from here and this becomes a rental facility in the back of the home, because this happened in another neighborhood where I live. Did anybody address
that?
That
was the neighbor's concern,
right,
the last time, that what happens when they move.
It doesn't matter.
That's so right. How? It doesn't matter. You can rent a room in your house right now to somebody, and it's
they might not like an accessory apartment next door to you with a rental unit, rented to a third party, but according to the ordinance, your neighbor has every right to do it.
That's right.
Like it or not.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, along that same lines, for an accessory apartment, either the apartment or the main house has to be owner-occupied.
Right.
Both of the units will not be allowed to be rental units.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raising the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. That's all of the old business that we have. We now move into new business. I call your attention to application 15-93012. a variance request to reduce side and rear setbacks for a proposed porch at 241 East Middlebury Lane. This is zone residential multifamily low density, RML. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, sir, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
Not that I'm aware of.
Do you have a presentation?
Yes, sir. Jill Tompkins of the Tompkins Company is representing the property owner, Diane Primo Hobson, and we do have that on file. And they're requesting a variance approval to reduce the rear setback at 241 East Middlebury Lane to construct a 12-foot by 10-foot attached screen porch. The property is roughly 4,050 square feet in zone residential multifamily low density, RML. They're specifically requesting to vary section 4.2.1, which requires a minimum rear yard setback distance of 20% of lot depth. They'll have 18 feet 8 inches. For a rear setback to instead have the required setback distance would be 18 feet 8 inches. They would like for the required setback to instead have a setback distance of 15 feet from the rear property line. The property is developed as an attached single-family house and is located in a residential neighborhood. Applicant proposes building a 12-foot wide by 10-foot deep screen porch attached to the rear of the house. The house is set back roughly 25 feet from the rear property line and has a 12-foot wide by 10-foot deep concrete slab patio at the back of the house, as shown in Exhibit D. The parcels fronting East and West Middlebury Lanes received blanket variance approval on January 28, 2003 for a 7.5 side yard setback, a 2,500 square foot lot, and lot widths of 25 feet, also shown in Exhibit H. This occurred at roughly the same time the land was rezoned from limited professional to residential multifamily low density. When these properties were developed, there was a 10 by 12 concrete slab put on the back, by the back door for the patio, and like several others, she wants to put a screen porch and close this with a screen porch.
Questions from the board to the city?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. The house is on a cul-de-sac, and the front yard is on an arc.
Yes.
And the depth of the lot varies from a minimum of 86.49 feet to a maximum of 100.77 feet. Mm-hmm. And the setback in the rear should be, according to the ordinance, 20% of the lot depth.
Yes.
What mathematical assumption did you use for the lot depth?
Take two side property lines, yeah, add them together and divide by two, find their average.
You took the average of the minimum and the maximum of the lot,
yes,
depth, divided by two, so you came out with about 93 feet then, I guess?
I think so.
So 20% of that?
Yes.
Okay. But it's interesting to see, even if you took the minimum amount of 86.49 feet, 20% of that would be 17.2 feet. So they'd still need a variance.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
But thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed in my site visit other porches of similar size, at least looking over fences as best I could. I could see other similar type porches that are similar to what is proposed in the documents that we received. Did all those other porches have to have a variance also, do you know? Again, I didn't measure each lot or anything like that, but just off the top of your head, has this been...
That whole area out there and the development of it, you have various zoning districts. So they may have needed a variance or they may not have. Out there you have one street that may be zoned limited professional. The next street beside it would be
may, or across the street may be zoned planned residential. Planned residential has no setbacks. But RML, which may be right across the street from it, does. So we have had some variance requests come through for this. The other thing that's unique out there on that property is the buffers, or there's sometimes between the streets and the houses, you know, there's an open space between the two that's commonly owned. That's not a part of the particular parcel. And, of course, we wouldn't measure that to get to the property line. We would stop the measurement at the property line.
There's also a lot of easements for the utilities.
Yes,
out in that area.
There is.
This looks like an alleyway, if you will. It's not wide enough for a vehicle, but it looks like an alleyway. If you go back to the back fence at this particular residence here and then look around, it looks like a, you know, somewhat of an alleyway. And then, trying to peer over the fence and look at that, as well as that area versus the other areas, it just looks like it's, there are a few porches of, appear to be a 10 by 12, and then there's some that are not. And so thank you for clearing that up for me. It could vary from one street to the next or across the street from one.
It is, you have to look at that particular, and each one of these streets out there was developed with their own eight homeowners association.
Okay.
And each one kind of stands on its own.
Okay. Thank you.
No, no question.
An additional question. We received, well, there's nothing on the package, any comments or anything from neighbors adjoining properties?
No.
I don't have
any comments.
Okay. Do we happen to know if the adjoining properties are owner-occupied?
I don't.
Don't know.
Right. The owners would have received written notification, and of course the signs posted in the newspaper ad. But the mailings goes to the owner, not the tenants.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Any further questions from the board to the city?
Oh, yes, I would like to. Is there is there a rule regarding how far the front door is from the street? And the reason I ask that is because of the curvature of the circle. This one is pushed further back, but if it had been pushed closer, we wouldn't have had to see it, right?
Correct.
Okay? So there's no requirement as far as that's concerned, do you think?
As long as it's set back a minimum distance, and then you go to the rear setback, as long as you're in that box, a buildable area, you're good.
Thank you.
Further questions to the city? Thanks, Tony. Did you say Ms. Thompson? Or is Mr. Thompson going to speak?
I really don't have much more to add to it other than...
Would you read yourself into the minutes, please, your name and address?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Jill Tompkins. I'm with the Tompkins Company, and my address is in Augusta, Georgia, but I'm speaking on behalf of Diane Hobson, and the address is at 241 East Middlebury Lane, Southwest in Aiken, 29803.
Thank you.
I really... can't add much more than what Mr. Paradise presented.
We'll see. You can respond to questions from the board.
Yes,
any questions from the board? Matt?
Yes. Can you tell me your relationship to the owner?
We have a contract. We're a contractor that the Hobsons worked with, and they contacted us in order to put a screen porch on the back of their home.
Okay, they own and occupy the house?
As of, I believe it's the 1st of May, they will be living there they do own it, and they're moving from Florida, and that's why they're not here. They're back in Florida preparing to move back here.
Now, this isn't a new unit. So this is purchase. It's purchased by the Diane Primo Hopkins, and they're moving from Florida, and they will occupy this.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions from the board? Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the variance requests? Final call, others to speak to the variance requests? Seeing, hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve application 15-93012 with the following conditions, that there's an approval for a 15-foot rear setback for a 10-foot deep and 12-foot wide screen porch attached to the house and generally depicted in Exhibit B, and that the final order is recorded in the Aiken County RMC office. And I feel like one of the things, we weren't sure how this met criteria one. However, Exhibit B shows that this lot, that this house is set back on the lot further from the others. So it looks like to me it would be extenuating.
You have jumped ahead of me. We have not.
I'm ahead of you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do we have a second?
Well, I'll second that.
Okay, now.
It's been properly, one second. It's been properly moved and seconded that we approve this variance request. Now, do we have discussion?
Okay.
Now.
Like I say, Exhibit B shows that this that the unit on this lot is set back further from the others. So that is showing that it has an exceptional, extraordinary condition. If you look on, like I said, I think it was Exhibit B, and you can see it set back. Now, that's why I was asking why, if there was any...
Are we looking at the same property? Because...
Mm-hmm. Are you on Exhibit B?
Yes. And the number of the house on this picture?
That one's 45.
And if you look at where the road is?
Mm-hmm.
Not the road, but the cul-de-sac?
Cul-de-sac.
Set to their front door. That's a lot shorter than 41s, 39s.
Oh, I know it. What I'm saying, though, it is that the building itself is set back further. That's why I was asking if there was a minimum footage.
I don't see that it's set back further.
Look at the one next door to it.
Look at 41.
Look at 47.
I think a point might be to say it another way, Judy. Do you mean it's closer to the rear property line?
It's closer to the rear property line.
Yeah. Not the setback from the road, but it's closer to the rear property line than the other house.
Okay. It's not set back further from the road, but I do see that it. Okay.
Well, with the adjoining unit, it is.
Plus, if you took that, if you took the numbers that Tommy pointed out and came back,
I just didn't see your reasoning fitting in there. Okay.
Quite a difference.
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. We're in discussion.
I guess this is a difficult neighborhood. The 2,500 square foot lot. It's difficult to work with. I doubt if this the situation. I think this neighborhood and these POAs run this particular neighborhood quite well, considering the size of the lots. I guess a key question here is you have to ask yourself: is it a hardship to deny this person a screen porch? Now, that's the key question. Is this a normal requirement of living in a residence like this to have a screened porch? And if the answer to yourself is yes, then I think we have to go along with it meeting the criteria.
Well, I personally would find it a hardship. I think a screen porch in with the kind of weather we have would certainly be an advantage to have, especially if you're a full-time resident living there.
I don't know if I'd classify that as a hardship.
A key question in the criteria.
You know, but, and I sell houses out here, okay, and they're all, it's way overcrowded, you know. So if this were a typical neighborhood, I'd say, well, you're going to be crowding the neighbors doing this. But they're already crowded already, so it's, in my opinion, not going to overcrowd things. I'm just having a hard time with the hardship thing.
I'd like to ask the planning director a question. Criteria 5, the purpose in the RML zone is subject to general purpose statement found in section 113, which calls for light, air, and open space, avoiding overcrowding of the land. And I guess my question is, because we constantly come up with this, especially with a 2,500 square foot lot, what is the measure of overcrowding of the land?
And that would be something that the board would need to decide.
You're saying it's just subjective for us to make a decision, and it's not an objective measure. 50% of the lot in hardscape or covered area?
We have no measurement like that. The setbacks and requirements are set up to make sure that there's light, air, and sufficient space. But, of course, this is a neighborhood where everything's tighter. So that comes down to a decision, just like the board had up on Chesterfield Street. How big should the house be on that lot? Yeah, it comes down to the individual circumstances and the board making the decision.
This area has always been a problem to the city. Especially, and I remember back in 2003 that we had this big discussion going from limited professional to RML.
No.
To clarify Pat's comment to the question to the city, there was zero inquiry from any neighbor, and there's probably literally one, two, three, probably five people impacted by this. Zero comment or inquiry into this posting.
To the best of my knowledge, I have not heard of any.
Okay.
The area is tight.
Yes.
Do we have any further discussion?
I just would like to say that if this is approved, that we're going to see a lot of other ones come in this direction, probably.
But we do not grant precedence.
I know we can't. I'm concerned about that very much so. It's already so crowded out there.
I just happened to...
And there's not extenuating circumstances here. It's not, we need a wheelchair out in the back, you know, nothing. This is just somebody wants to add a porch on. And when they bought it, they knew there wasn't a porch there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, my only reservation is I can't, for the life of me, see where it's you would unreasonably restrict the utilization of the property by restricting somebody from adding a screen porch. I don't think a screen porch is a requirement of life. I don't have one. I've never had one. Maybe the bugs don't like me.
But I think when they built the homes out there, they poured the slab. And so the slab came with the house.
Yeah, I think the slab is for putting chairs out there.
It's a patio.
It's a patio. It's a screen porch, yeah.
And if you'd rather sit outside and not be bothered by the mosquitoes and flies, I think that's an individual right. Any further discussion? Here and none, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. Those opposed, same sign. The motion is carried 5-2. The chair is going to exercise the prerogative, and I'm going to jump to item C, application 15-92007 will not be heard tonight. It has been continued. Application 15-92007 is being continued and will not be heard tonight. I call your attention to application 15-92006, a request to relocate the existing law enforcement center, the sheriff's office, to the former Food Lion grocery store at 834 Buford Street, that's Buford Street and Y Road. The property is zoned GB General Business, and they're requesting a special exception to the city. Has this been properly posted?
Yes, sir, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
No, sir. No, none to my knowledge.
Presentation?
Andy Merriman, he's the assistant county administrator representing Aiken County Government, which has permission from the property owner, Alien Aiken LLC, is requesting special exception approval to locate the Aiken County Law Enforcement Center, or the Sheriff's Department, at 834 Buford Street Northeast. The proposed use is a government facility, and he is specifically requesting that Section 3.1.6 require special exception approval for all other public projects. Section 3.2.4.D describes a government facility as a location for local, state, or federal government services and references police stations as an example. The Aiken County Law Enforcement Center provides services for Aiken County that includes the Sheriff's Department, support staff, information technology, dispatch, crime lab, bloodhound tracking team, and traffic court. There will not be an overnight detention facility on the subject property. Roughly 100 persons staff the law enforcement center with a maximum parking demand of 130 to 150 vehicles. Remember that most of the sworn deputies take their cars home. There will also be a telecommunications tower proposed that will be heard next month. Though operated on a continuous basis, the primary working schedule is weekdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. There will be storage of emergency lighting and other equipment behind the building and should be screened by existing vegetation. If screening is not sufficient, additional screening may be required. Proposed auxiliary uses are a telecommunications tower and a 15,300 square foot building that would contain a vehicle bay, kennels, and miscellaneous office and support rooms. These are included in the special exception before the board. The surrounding development includes multifamily apartments across Buford Street, and the remaining land to the north, east, and south is predominantly vacant and are zoned general business. If this was as the board is aware, general business is the most intense commercial district that we have. If this was any other commercial entity, they would probably be allowed there by right. But since this is a government entity, it requires special exception from the Board of Zoning Appeals to go there.
Questions for the city from the board?
Yeah, is this 15,300 square foot building, is that what's there now?
No, ma'am. That would be in addition to what's there now.
Ooh, okay.
Is the proposed site on an exhibit here?
Yes, sir. That would be Exhibit B. Exhibit C.
Okay. They're added onto the front of the building? Is that what I'm looking at, where it says storage?
Mr. Merriman could answer that better.
That's what I'm saying, is a specific, that's a detached 15,000 square foot building, correct?
That was my understanding. I don't know that they've got it fully designed at this point.
I'll wait for the applicant.
But the existing building is, did I see a number here, 39,000? The existing, I'm looking for the numbers for the existing building. Is that shown?
39,869.
I see it now, yes.
And has, and is roughly 200 parking stalls with a 10-acre wooded site.
Okay.
Who makes the determination on whether additional screening and all that will be necessary?
Well, that would come down to how y'all word it, but typically, I think the suggested would be visible to the street outdoor storage shall be screened either by vegetation or other methods approved by the planning director.
I'm looking at Exhibit D and the contours. Retention pond possibility that which should be in that right, the lower right-hand corner is to the southeast.
Yes.
Because that's the low point, 458 feet.
Yes.
Other questions to the city?
Yeah, I have a question. I can't read the detail on Exhibit E well enough. The kennels, how many dogs, and are they interior or exterior?
That would be one for the applicant.
Okay.
The the way I understand the kennels work is the Sheriff's Department, the Bloodhound Tracking Team is composed of officers from the Sheriff's Department, Aiken Public Safety, North Augusta Public Safety, other law enforcement agencies. So they'll respond there and pick up the dogs. I think the other dogs, like narcotics and bum dogs, would go home with their handlers. But bloodhounds tend to have to stay there because the team meets and then goes to the scene.
I'm concerned for two reasons. Number one, of course, it could affect the situation with the neighbors. We've had inquiries before, and the ASPCA put up their building. But also, according to the ordinance, there are some additional restrictions as far as where kennels can be located.
Yes.
And does this meet the requirement if these were exterior kennels?
Actually, these are not kennels. Because to be a kennel under the definition of the zoning ordinance, you're paying to have your animal kept there. These, they're owned by the Sheriff's Department, so you're keeping your own animals on your property. There has to be remuneration.
Their own animals are captured animals.
No, sir. Now, this isn't the animal control. This is the Sheriff's Department.
Okay, so the bloodhounds or the dogs that aren't taken home would be their own.
Correct.
But no animal control dogs would be ever kept there?
That'd be one for the applicant, but I would think that they would keep them at the new animal shelter right down the road.
On Royal Road?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the board to the city? Thanks, Tommy. Mr. Merriman?
Andy Merriman, Assistant Administrator, 1930 University Parkway. Mr. Pater, I do want to answer that question. The answer is a resounding no to that. We just had the animal shelter open last March, so animal control is actually a division that falls under the county administrator, under me. The sheriff's department is, as you know, an elected official, but this would be the bloodhounds. There's about 20 of them that would be there through an in-and-out kind of a guillotine system kennel that they would have access to the outdoor and indoor. Also, in the event of a hurricane or some other natural disaster, bloodhound units come in from other agencies, and we would be in a position to house those. So it would have more runs than just the 24, the sheriff's bloodhounds.
So either the kennels would be outside, or the runs adjoining the kennels would be outside?
Essentially, if you go to... If you've not been to the 8 County Animal Shelter, and I'm not 100% sure about the SPCA, there's a guillotine door that allows the dog fresh air and then brings them in inclement weather. This would be a similar system as initially proposed. And I really want to stress that this is certainly an initial proposal. The 15,000 square foot building that we're looking at now, or at least discussing, has been conceptually drawn in no architectural or engineering terms whatsoever. It's really been a joint exercise between the administrator's office and the sheriff's office in trying to determine what the needs for that particular facility would be.
Has there been a site chosen for that on the property, though?
The entire property, no, sir. There's not a footprint for that for this particular use outside of what was the old Food Lion. No, sir.
Mr. Merriman, I guess when I read through the staff notes, and if I put on my old law enforcement hat, I was curious about not having any additional protection after hours. You're proposing to operate a facility 5 days a week, 8 to 5, and no protection at night, weekends?
Well,
additional cameras, surveillance, people housed there to watch, guards?
Yes, that's a great question. It is an 8-to-5 facility, but for all practical purposes, traffic goes in and out of the current facility constantly over here on Hampton Avenue. The office staff would have an 8-to-5 setup, but we've also would have a drug unit in there. The forensics lab would be in there. There would always be someone, and I think it's a very safe assumption to say, there would always be sheriff's department personnel in that building in one way, shape, or form, just given the nature of the activities that go on in that building.
So is this a wholesale shift from Hampton Avenue over there?
Yes, sir. It absolutely would be.
Okay.
And to some extent, it would include dispatch as well. So, yes, sir, all of that would be moved.
So when I call 911, the people here would be the one that answered if it was the county. If I called the county, when you say dispatch, is that?
Well, yeah, the dispatch, we have the dispatch center over at the Hampton Avenue facility now. We would just move all of that. You would dial 911 and someone would show up, but yes, ma'am, those 911 services would just move to the new
but
facility.
But then there's going to be people there. Okay. Yeah. Lots of people.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Okay.
So everything that's on Hampton Avenue now would move into this new facility?
Yes, sir.
Plus you'd have more room.
Plus we'd have a little bit more room, plus a little room for growth, because as you know, at the Hampton Avenue facility, we're landlocked. It's about a 6-acre parcel. There's really nothing else that can be done out there, not to mention the facility itself is a jail, and it was designed as such. This, we're looking for almost some Class B type office space and some flex space for vehicle storage, dogs, that kind of stuff.
Are there any functions that would move into this building that are presently not at Hampton Avenue?
To this point, no. The only thing that I think might include would be some off-site evidence storage, and that would be it, and that was just by virtue of being out of room.
No, there will be no detention facility.
Absolutely not. No, sir. No, sir.
No overnight.
No, sir.
Nothing. So that function would remain
at the Gravett Detention Center.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
At the Gravett Detention Center.
Yes, sir.
All right. Personally, I think it's a great use for that old grocery store building. I mean, I went by, it's boarded up, it looks rather forlorn, and so It seems like it'd be an ideal facility for what you all propose to use or to locate there.
Yes, sir. Our intention was, obviously, we do need to look at the Sheriff's Department long-term. We did see the facility as an opportunity for an infill, big box reuse. And so that's kind of how this whole discussion got started. We're still in the diligence process, and there's a lot of questions that remain unanswered, specifically, as you mentioned, the communications tower that we had previously had on there. There's some questions about height requirements and what we need, that kind of stuff that we're still trying to flesh out.
Well, that was one question I had on here, was your height of the tower. But wasn't that the general location of the unfortunate situation that happened a couple of years ago with Scotty Richardson?
It was right across the street, yes, sir.
Since he mentioned that, I was going to mention it just before I excuse you from the box. I don't know if you were responsible for providing the responses to the criteria, decision criteria, but if you look at item 11, I think is very sensitive in your response, and I don't think that it should have been included.
Yes, sir, duly noted. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions for Mr. Merriman?
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the variance request? A special exception, not variance, a special exception.
Good afternoon. James Matthews from the Edgewood.
Will you speak into the recording devices, please?
Good afternoon. James Matthews, the president of the Edgewood Neighborhood Association, which the Sheriff Department is in my neighborhood. And Mr. Hunt and I, we have already spoken about it, and it's a very good thing that we need the space. So we were wondering, after the move, what it was going to be and the next phase of that. But back to comment about the dogs. The dogs are on the property. I stay one block from the Sheriff's Department now, and I hear the dogs every day. They bark. It's not a problem. Been there all my life. But my main concern is traffic. The officers come out of there, no blue light, just come out. You know, and I hate to see what's going to happen on the 118 bypass, because when that grocery store was there, a child got killed. Now, once you cross to that side, the state says they don't have nothing to do with that because they will not allow drainage from my neighborhood to cross Buford. To access, when that grocery store was there, we asked for an overpass where citizens could go over because they wasn't going to widen it. They didn't care nothing about that road, which was the state. So I would like to see what the Sheriff Department is going to do if you have people that walk to Buford, got to cross that area, along with wire that's down that sidewalk, which goes back to Rudy Mason. There's no sidewalk. So I just wanted to throw that out, but I'm still all in for the Sheriff Department move, and I hate to see it move. It's been there for over 30 years. So just take consideration of the dogs. There's no problem with me. None of the neighbors, you know, complain, but I know it's going to be better for you all to have more space. But the main thing that I'm here for is the roads, the infrastructure. Because if you move there, I would like them to have that water to bypass and come right on down to that tension pond. Thank you.
Questions from the board?
Thank you. I'm having a neighborhood meeting in this room.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception request? final call. Others to speak to the special exception request?
I'd like to recall the applicant, Mr. Merriman, to respond to the...
I was going to offer him rebuttal time, yeah.
Maybe we should get the gentleman back in here, though. The gentleman that want to hear this is not in here right this minute.
Well, we may need to record it in a minute, but
I'd like to hear it.
I guess one of the items, I know the city of Aiken does it, are traffic lights. When you are responding, that can be controlled by the dispatcher. Mm-hmm. That any time the dispatcher is sending a vehicle out, a vehicle is responding, going out into the highway, they can activate the sign, the signals.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I guess... based on the homeowner concern on traffic, under your response on number five, was a traffic study done, or how were those numbers generated? Because based on your response, you know, literally you'd have less than a quarter of the traffic if you had, another food line or something else like that relocating to that spot.
If we had a... Yeah, our calculations actually, the food line or some other grocery retailer, yeah, to your point, would have higher traffic counts than ours. Ours would be subsequently significantly lower.
Yeah, no, I guess to elaborate to the homeowner, though, was that an actual study that was done in terms of, based on your current operation, how many in and outs you have, or
partially? But I think typically these are industry standards that were used by our planning department. Helped put some of these numbers together. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay.
I tend to agree with that, but I just want to know where you generated or how you generated the numbers.
Yes, sir.
That's the only question I have.
Yes, sir.
Other questions from the board? You heard the concerns that you want to embellish.
I would like to. Yeah. It sounded like I heard some concerns specifically about foot traffic. Is that correct? And that I think that's valid. We're around that area a lot, and I think foot traffic could certainly be taken into consideration. There are a lot of folks that walk and ride there. Again, we are very, very early in our diligence period, so I don't know how to properly answer that, but other than it would certainly be a consideration as we move forward. Specifically, also drainage issues. I think as this site is engineered and expanded upon, we're looking at a larger footprint on the 15,000 square foot facility alone, plus a possible communications tower, again, depending on whether or not the city would approve that particular use, would require more drainage abatement. So absolutely, as the site is developed, those particular things would have to, certainly by the city's requirements and our own, take into consideration stormwater, pedestrians, that kind of stuff. But I do want to stress this is very early on in our process, and this is just one site that we're doing the diligence on.
So the state said no. So that's the issue that I'm raising now. Is because when they try
just a moment. In order to address, we need you to read yourself back into the minutes.
Okay.
Well, at that time, the state said no.
Oh. Address and...
Oh, name James, address. James Matthews, 533 Sumter Street, Northeast, Aiken.
Before you ask, can you clarify on this map the area of drainage or whatever, where your concern is?
Where he has the X at now is where he's I guess is going to be the entrance. But if you bring it down to the corner of Camille and Wire, keep coming, right there. There is no sidewalk. When you go back up Camille, there's no sidewalk to that facility. And that's an issue I've been pushing with the city, you know, because there's lack of, because people stay in those apartments. And there's no sidewalk on Buford going back to Reeds. So if I had a ticket or my license was suspended and somebody dropped me off, I'm walking in the road. And see, that's going to be more people, more traffic. It's the same as it is now on Hampton, but there is sidewalks.
Well, and I certainly appreciate the traffic concerns, but there'll certainly probably be less traffic because of that facility than if another general business that could utilize all that square feet moved into that, especially the retail setup.
I see the same amount of traffic. You just move it in from point A to point B. That's all. If he has 300 officers, are they in and out at least twice a day? You're going to have the same amount of traffic over there, not what's normal for that time of or 9 to 5 or 8 to 5. It's going to be more because that was a dormant area.
Well, yeah, you're going to have more from an abandoned building, I grant you that. But I think the point is, that being zoned general business, you could virtually have any sort of new retail setup come in requiring no variance from us, because that right now is zoned a general business condition. And could be of a retail setup that you would have a lot more traffic than the proposed county application to it. There'll certainly be more traffic than there is now, which is obviously virtually none because there's no business or government entity there at all. So,
I was looking at the future because they're going to be working on the north side, you know, with the revitalization of the north side. So I wanted that part, if you're going to do it right. Yeah. And we won't have to go back.
Yeah, no,
just like that happened several times with the infrastructure.
Sure. Not to diminish the concern about foot traffic. That's reasonable and stands. Just trying to clarify that actually as a use for a government entity and the traffic that's likely to generate, the odds are that it's going to be somewhat less at least than any other sort of retail environment that could, without appearing before this board, move right into that building. That's the only point I was trying to clarify.
Any further questions for Mr. Matthews? Thank you.
Thank you. They're waiting on me next door.
Mr. Merriman, were you done?
I am, if you're finished with me.
Any further question for Mr. Merriman? Thank you.
Thank you.
The chair would now entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that this special exception related to application 15-92006 be granted.
This was 7. Isn't this 6?
This is
7.
Yeah,
he said
6.
I said 6.
He said 6.
Okay,
6. Go ahead.
That the approval of this application be made to allow the law enforcement center to locate in the existing building at 834 Buford Street, a 15,300 square foot building that would contain a vehicle bay, kennels, miscellaneous office, and support rooms may be constructed on the site and comply with planning department guidelines and ordinances. Exterior lighting may be improved for safety and security per city regulations if the applicant chooses. If visible to the street, outdoor storage shall be screened either by vegetation or other methods as approved by the planning director, and the final order be recorded at the Aiken County RMC office.
Second the motion.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we grant the special, approve the special exception request.
Mr. Chairman,
do
you think
any discussion, Judy?
Should we include something in there about drainage and sidewalks? They just should be aware that's a concern. I mean, I don't know how to state it, but
it seems like the sidewalks is a totally different issue than this facility.
Yeah.
You know, it's all over the city with those areas without sidewalks.
Right.
And I assume that the planning director is in the meeting. He hear the concerns and that he would ensure that the drainage and the roads be looked at before the planning department get final approval.
My comment, and I appreciate Bud trying to squeeze something in on that, on the condition two. This almost seems to be part of the county's representative that a lot of this is still being created. There almost needs to be a real concept submitted for this property, I think, somehow tied to its special exemption. You know, see what I'm saying?
If I could address that, the okay. Whatever comes in, whatever they decide to build, if you say they can build, yeah, the additional building, that'll have to come to the planning department and go through the site landscape plan review process, just like any other commercial development. You're not signing off tonight that they can build. You're just signing off that the zoning would allow that facility there. The in the site landscape plan review process, engineering would be addressed as far as stormwater runoff, accessibility to the public as far as making sure there's no hazards. All of that would be addressed. Parking, lighting, setbacks, landscaping, all of those would be addressed at that time. How to get the water and sewer to the buildings, all the nuts and bolts of actually allowing the construction. Now, if the board wanted to require a concept plan prior to approving that section, so that you conditioned it to a facade that they would have to comply with, that's something certainly the board could do.
But certainly our approval would just allow them to go through the maze.
Yes. This is the first step.
What is otherwise the, mine's not so much the what, it's the where. 15,000 square foot building is fairly sizable. It's going to have a multi-use. Certainly, I think it's probably warranted, and certainly 10 acres, I'm certainly, there's a lot of safe places to put that, but just, you know, where, how is that constrained by the existing ordinance, I guess, for general
unless
business?
They come back to you for a variance, they'll have to meet all the required setbacks. So the placement of the building will have to meet those.
Okay.
And then there's the landscaping requirements, any okay. buffering requirements, that type thing.
All right.
Do we have any further discussion? And certainly we would like to encourage the potential use for big, empty big boxes.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. That's the last item. The chair would entertain a motion for adjournment.
Mr. Chair, before you adjourn, if I could mention one other thing. I sent out an email to the board, but the mediation for the City of Aiken versus Sierra Blue about the lawn jockey being, whether it is or is not a light fixture, that's been scheduled to be heard on May 5th at 10 o'clock at Rob Braithwaite's office here in Aiken.
And this is a mediator?
Yes. Rob Braithwaite will serve as the mediator.
Is the board invited?
And I'm not for sure. We will have a different city manager by that time, and we're kind of waiting on some direction. Whenever I talk to Ms. Tiffany about that, is how he wants the board to interact in that mediation.
You said that was May 5th?
Yes, sir. May 5th at 10 o'clock.
Okay. And Rob's office is on Richland Avenue.
Richland Avenue. Yeah.
Right across from the old Aiken County Complex.
The board had a lot of energy on that issue, and I wanted to make sure they had the opportunity to sit and hear both sides of the argument.
I just wanted to mention that.
The board entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved, sir.
It's a non-voting.
It was 7 o'clock.
I started bringing a jacket.
I thought that was a reason for me not to.